Hi there, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. This is the show where you can call in and ask about your soul's intention. You can ask about what's going on in your life. You can ask about, not necessarily to find out what the future holds so much as what your choices are in the here and now. You know, the idea here is that once we come onto this planet, we have a free will choice of how we want it to look and feel. So that's what we're doing. That's where we're going. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to take your questions and take your calls and see how it works. Do want to remind you that next week, it's going to be the same time except 5 minutes earlier. I'm going to be on from West Coast time. I'm going to be on at 7:55, okay, 7:55, and I'm going to be on station 2. So it's going to go from 7:55 until 8:55. That's in there in California. And then if you're East Coast, it's going to be on 10:55 and go till 11:55. So it's the same show, same format, just station 2 and 5 minutes earlier. So you get to go to sleep 5 minutes earlier next week. So do tell your friends. It will be on the schedule, so not to worry about that. And want to also share with you that for those people who are interested, we're doing a level 1 workshop and a level 2 workshop at the end of July. So you can certainly come in on that to Cleveland. Okay. Here's another time where I open the records, and I say, okay, record keepers, what are we talking about tonight? What do you want my wonderful listeners to know about tonight? And here I am. We're going to talk about, it's funny, the first thing that comes to my mind is that, I don't know if you've ever heard of or seen that episode with Seinfeld when they create this show about nothing. And the interesting thing about the records work is that when you open up the Akashic Records, you usually start with a question. And so the question tonight is, what is it most important for the listeners of the Akashic Wisdom Show to know about, to hear about? And many times, whenever we ask that question, the answer comes in a variety of different ways. So, for example, one show... We asked Don, our producer, what show, and we talked about crop circles. And another time, the questions will come in from people who have emailed, which we have some email questions to deal with. Last week, we talked about, spiritual dating. And I also wanted to talk a little bit about that as well. And for those people who are just tuning in, you've never listened to Akashic Wisdom before, I want to just share with you that this program, the way I access the Akashic Records is through a specific sacred prayer. I do teach people how to do that, and I do individual consultations for those people who would prefer to be private. And as I said before, when you enter the records, everything is based on your questions. So just want to give you the telephone numbers. Basically you only need one, and you can call in and never have to wait for a line. You can just wait your turn. It won't be busy for you. So it's 888-815-9756. And that's worldwide. So no matter where you're listening from, you can call in to BBS Radio right now at 888-815-9756, and you will be able to talk to me and ask me the questions that are in your heart. You can also email me your questions if you prefer. And if you are going to email me your questions for tonight or another time, please include your current legal name so I won't read it on the air, but I will be able to get a better connection with you. And you can email me at my private email. It's info@akashicwisdom. That's AKASHIC. It's Akashic Wisdom. It's info@akashicwisdom.com. So those are your two avenues to call in and talk. I wanted to talk again about the spiritual dating. You know, one of the things that's important for us to know as light workers, and I'm going to make the assumption that folks listening here are all folks that are interested in helping themselves and moving through their own stuff and moving into a expansion state of light. And I make the assumption that those are the types of people we want to be around. Those are the ones we want to share our life with. And there's many of us that have had partners in our life that not only did not know understand what we were doing, but in some cases have put us down or made fun or just because they didn't understand. And those are wonderful lessons that we learned when someone would do that to us to stand up for ourselves so that we could really claim who we are. And if you're in a situation right now where you have a partner that not only doesn't understand who you are or what you're doing, and you'd like some help with that, some support with that, even some words of wisdom around that, please, that's another thing you can certainly call in and we can talk about that, and the record keepers will give you the information you need to know about that partnership. But there's so many people that I talk to that want to meet their intended. They want to meet what they call their soul partner. Now, I'm going to give you Donna's personal philosophy about soul partners, and then we can talk to the record keepers. But the reality is about soul partners is that if we're on this planet now, which we all are, at least the ones that we can see, I guess, right? When we incarnated, every partner that we have come in contact with is a soul partner, whether or not you felt it was a match for your lifetime. And the reason that's being said, and actually this is the record keepers are chiming in now too, is that the idea of soul partner means that there was a soul agreement. There was a soul agreement about who you were going to meet and what you agreed with that person to learn or to accomplish or to understand, not only for yourself but for each other. There's never a one-way street. Every relationship we have, we learn from. And sometimes those learnings can be pleasant and wonderful, and sometimes they can be very painful. But even the painful ones, if we can look at those painful relationships and really move into the light of how we not only operated in the relationship, how we reacted to the person that we were with, but why we allowed ourselves to move into a relationship and stayed in that relationship, even though we knew it was painful, if we can just look back at that pattern, we can learn volumes about why and who we are so that we don't make that same choice again. I don't want to call it a mistake. I want you to know, and I want you all to feel empowered to know that in this lifetime, we don't make mistakes. We make choices. And some choices feel better than others. So right now we have a caller on the line, and I would say hello, welcome caller.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Good. I wanted to ask about soulmates and just everything in general with regard to what everyone, or not everyone, but what seems to be out there about 2012 and what the Akashic Records are saying about that, because some people are not making plans, not looking for soulmates, not doing things because of the uncertainty with what's going on. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, wait a minute. Before you leave, can you just tell me your name and or your first name and where you're calling from?
Andrea, Connecticut.
Okay, great. Good. I'll be happy to answer your question. Okay. And if you want to stay on the line, you can do that, or if you want to hang up, it's okay. Whatever you prefer. Okay? The idea of soulmates in 2012... I think that's first of all, thank you very much for calling in, and thank you very much for that question, because that question itself is so indicative of how we make choices. What the record keepers want us to know about our lives, whether it's today or 5 years from now or 10 years from now or in 2012, which is, you know, what 4 years from now. Isn't that right? No. Maybe it's 3 years from now. If we stop and wait, to live our life the way we choose to live our life, we are preventing ourselves from looking toward any joy that we may have in the moment. If we put ourselves so far in the future and don't want to make commitments because of what may quote-unquote happen, we are cheating ourselves, and we are allowing other people's opinions to dictate our lives. Now, there are so many different ideas of what could happen in 2012. And there are so many different ideas, and there's many scientific verifications that something, you know, an alignment with the axis of the Earth may happen. But the reality is anything can happen. And where you are in your own light, in your own ability to live, is what's going to prepare you for tomorrow. If we look at next year, we're going to miss today and tomorrow. So it's more about finding the joy in the day. And when you find the joy in the day, you open yourself up to receive more joy from those around you. And there are horrendous things that have happened to people. And many people can give you many reasons why they don't feel joyful and why they feel sad and why they're grieving. That's true. But the reality is that even in the deepest grief, it is absolutely essential to find joy. Not finding joy, even in your deepest grief, does no one any good. It doesn't give any more credence to your grief by allowing yourself to be in the depths of despair. But you can find joy when you look at it, and that joy could be the beauty of a flower. The joy could be the peacefulness of a beautiful sunset. The joy could be the petting of your pet, of just having a pet around you, or even if you've lost a pet. The joy can be the memories that you had, either with a loved one or a loved pet. Whatever it is, there is joy around you. There's so many people, and again, for those people who have listened in before, you may or may not remember my story, but my first husband died when my children were 16 months old, 3 and 6. And if I would have allowed myself to step in the grave with him, and found no joy in my children, and found no laughter in my life would have ended. I may have physically lived, but my emotions, my being would have died. And so for us to stop living because of possible things that will happen in 2012, we are cheating ourselves. And so I hope all those who are listening open their hearts to the joy and the light that is available to them. And so, again, to move back into the idea of spiritual dating and the idea of finding the one you were meant to be with, one of the things that is so important, and it's interesting that, you know, it's quite probably appropriate that we talk about this tonight. I actually just got back from Boston. My oldest son is getting married in August, and his bride-to-be, his fiance, had her bridal shower, and I was there with my daughter, and we were at the bridal shower, and so we want to send a blessing and of light and love out to Brian and Becky and in Boston, and tell them how much we love them. Interestingly enough, the idea of finding a soul partner is different than finding a soul mate. And what the record keepers want to define and discern about that is that when you find a soul partner, it is a partner that holds your light and your love and is a partner in all senses of the word. Finding a soul partner is finding someone who loves you no matter what. And I know that's what everybody wants. But the idea of a soul partner, especially for light workers, is someone that you can share your inner thoughts about how life works with. And even though that soul partner doesn't necessarily have to agree with you, you can also have wonderful, lively conversations, not about who's right, but what your different ideas are. And so when you're looking for light and love, remember it's easy. Finding the perfect relationship, or the relationship that is quote unquote meant to be for whatever time frame it's meant to be in, is easy. Because when you find someone you truly care about, they automatically care about you. It's easy. There are no games. And in fact, that was one of the things that was said, is that we were giving her advice at the shower, which, you know, new brides need, of course. And we were all saying that when you find that one that you love, you don't have to, quote unquote, try to be anyone. You just are. And they love you for who you are. And I was working with a client who was having some weight issues and was thinking it was very interesting, because she was talking about, from a very intimate point of view, about not feeling comfortable having sex with her boyfriend. And there was like, because for whatever, and I'm not talking about a one-night stand now. I'm talking about, you know, after you've had a relationship and you decide that you're going to make love together. She was saying that she was uncomfortable in getting undressed and being naked. And I said, why is that? Do you not like your body? She said, well, I really want to lose some more weight before I was thinking I could get in bed with him. And interestingly enough, the record keeper said, do you think he doesn't know what size you are now? And she just looked at me, and it's like, when you're with someone, there's no amount of clothes that will cover you that they don't know, either that you have a curvaceous body, an overweight body, a slender body. They love you for who you are, or they would not be with you, especially if they've been with you for a little while before you decide to make love. It's not like they're scoping you out, because even if they were scoping you out and they still were trying to come on to you, the reality is they know what you look like. I mean, this is not a secret, you know? So it's very interesting how we as women feel about our bodies, and that also needs to change, if you will, and shift. But getting back to the soulmate idea is that the other piece about soulmate and soul partner is that I also have clients that want to understand or feel obligated, because someone in their, you know, like either a psychic or somewhere along the line, they themselves have felt they were with their quote-unquote soulmate. And so because they were with their soulmate, they felt that they had to stay with that person because they were soulmates, and they possibly were soulmates in another lifetime, and they had to stay with that person even though that person was treating them badly. And it never occurred to them that one of the reasons they came together was so that they could step into their power, and they no longer had to be mistreated. And that is also important when you're looking for a relationship. A true loving relationship is never one where either partner makes the other person feel bad or less than. And if, in fact, you've had a string of relationships like that, it's really going to be important that you look at what pattern that's bringing to you. And to take a look at how, again, we were talking about the motivation. What drew you to that person? What was it about the person that you connected with that ended up to be unhealthy for you? And the reason that's so important is if you can connect with the reason you connected to begin with, you can just kind of take a look back at the pattern of your love life and do something totally different, you may find it very interesting. So if you've always been attracted to the bad boys, you know, the tough guys, tough guys, I guess you could call them, and you've had a situation where they always treated you mean, or they've mistreated you, then maybe what you need to do next time is look for someone who on the outside is more gentle, more sensitive, and just begin to be friends with this person rather than to begin to be passionate with this person. And it's about trying out different types of friendships and relationships, and then creating a new paradigm for yourself of what you want in a relationship and what's important to you. So that's, I hope I answered Andrea's question around soulmates in 2012. But if we wait for any kind of life or to do anything because we're afraid of 2012, then we're in worse shape than whatever disaster comes. I mean, now if you're worried about where you live, then move. If you're worried about not having enough food, then begin to stock up. If you're worried about of different things, but don't do anything in fear. Do it for. Don't stop your life for fear of the future. That's really unhealthy. Don't do that to you. You want to have every joy that you can have. Because when you leave this plane, when you leave this earth, it's going to be important that you carry those memories with you. You know, all your experiences go in this wonderful memory bank, if you will, called the records, the Akashic Records, the Universal Informational Repository. And don't miss the chance to make memories. Don't miss the chance to have experiences. You're just way too important for that, much too important. And I know that there are people saying, well, you know, what if everything's destroyed? And why would I go ahead and spend the money now if everything's going to be destroyed? Well, the reality is how much is that money going to be worth to you if everything's destroyed anyway? Where are you going to be? Enjoy yourself now. Truly enjoy yourself now. And work to elevate your consciousness to the highest level so that you can move into a space of peace should there be something that happens that you need to be able to work with or that would be challenging. And don't allow other people to dictate how you live your life. You've got to live it from joy, from the inside of your heart. And when we were talking about survival tactics, you know, getting ready if you consider that there's something, the reason why it's important not to do it in fear, and I really recommend that you really get clear about what you're doing out of fear and what you're doing for because you want to be comfortable. Now, there's a big difference there. And it's a very subtle feeling difference. I want you just to notice it. There's a very subtle feeling difference between grabbing or stocking food up for fear of survival rather than the joy of survival and the joy of living and the joy of being comfortable. There's a big difference between stocking up for food because you feel there won't be any and stocking up for food because you love to have it always available to you. One is a fear concept, the other is an abundance concept. Very important. And the other piece is if, in fact, people stop wanting or are moving into fear because 2012 is only 3 years away, our economy and our whole environment is going to take on that vibe. And it's that vibration in itself that could create a lot of challenges. So it's very important that you watch your language. How do you speak to yourself? How do you speak about your life? How do you speak about the whole circumstances? It's very important that you take a look at that. And let's rearrange, if you will, or realign ourselves to more important area. Okay? Well, great. We've got a caller on the other line. And hi, caller. What's your name?
Hi, it's Noella from Canada calling. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Noella. How are you?
Good. I love your topic tonight. It's right where I'm at.
Great. We're glad we hit it on the nose. That's great.
Yeah.
What part of Canada are you from?
I'm from the East Coast, Ottawa, which is just in Ontario, just above Toronto.
Oh, okay, great. All right, I'm in Cleveland, so Toronto's not that far from me.
Okay, yeah, because most people know Toronto, Montreal, but Ottawa, they seem to go, what's that?
Well, I'm glad you're calling. And you've listened before?
Oh, yeah, Dana. I love the soul partner versus soul mate because that makes so much sense. So much sense. Like, I've just been out of a 20-year relationship that was not good. Bipolar, lots of anger, lots of, you know, and I was like you, like, why am I staying in this relationship, you know, and every time I wanted to leave, it was like something was pulling me back, and I finally realized I had to learn compassion before I let the ties go, and he actually left, he did me a favor, because I think the guilt would have killed me because of his health, you know, so it's sort of like that's me, you know. Now it's been 3 years. We're friends. We have a daughter. But I have no interest going back, of course. And he keeps trying. I'm going, no, I don't want to shoot myself in the head again, you know?
Yeah, right.
So I just met someone and it's very, just at the beginning, just like, not even like maybe a date and then not hearing back, but I want to go slow, this kind of thing. And then you don't hear, so you don't know. Like, what does that mean? You know, going slow.
Oh, I see.
Right? But you don't hear from them. So, you know, like, I'm kind of new at this. So I'm just like, my 20-year-old daughter is educating me on how men think today. It's hilarious. She knows a lot more than we do, I'll tell you. Anyways, what I think is interesting is the part that I'm having problems with is the emotional... It's probably from fear, and it's not conscious. It keeps coming from the subconscious. So let's say I like this individual, and I'm willing to be patient and wait and whatever. I don't care, you know, or meet someone new. I'm very open. I don't care about 2012. I believe we make our own paradigms. I believe that it's going to be nothing like everyone says. I think it's going to be an evolution of the soul more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good thing. And so, like, now the masculine is starting to get more feminine, you know, they're getting the compassion and the understanding. And so I've met someone that's gentle and understanding like that. But, like, I don't know where it's going to go. And it doesn't, like I said, I've learned to live in the moment and just when it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, something else will. I have total trust in the universe. Because it's a lot smarter than I am, so I'm starting to surrender to that. And that's
I think that's what's important. The idea here is that, and again, when you're with someone that you're having a good time with,
right.
I think there's nothing wrong with expressing that you're having a good time and saying that you're looking forward to doing it again, and then, you know, letting it go after that. These days. It seems that it's okay, you know, to call the man back or what. I mean, it's been a while since I've been dating, I've got to tell you.
Tell me about it. Well, I have called, and I've left messages, but I never got a message back. So,
So let it go, and there was like, when the guy's ready, he'll call you, and if he doesn't, you know, you've got to look at it this way. It's not, and I know that logically,
but then emotionally, I started, like, weeping a little bit, like,
uh-huh.
And I was going, like, well, where is this coming from, you know,
What, the weeping part, you mean?
Yeah, like, I was, like, crying a little bit, you know?
Well,
and my daughter's
like,
why are you crying? And I said, I don't know. It's just coming out of me.
Well, no, I'll tell you where the crying's coming from, the unstated expectations you had that you're not admitting to.
Okay. All right.
Now,
well,
what I want you to look at is the idea is, and this is not just for you, Noelle, it's for all the women out there that date and they really say, oh, well, this is okay. This is not going to bother me. I'm going to be lighthearted. But yet, as soon as a man pays some attention to them, they move right into the expectation of what's next.
Yeah.
And as soon as they move into that expectation, just hear me for a minute. As soon as they move into that expectation, that energy of clinginess then is projected out.
Uh-huh.
And it's the energy that the man is sensing that is not, that it's the unspoken energy of expectation.
Okay.
So what's important for us women to understand is that we need to be so confident within ourselves that we have to look at being with someone as just being with someone, not as if they're going to be the love of our life just on one date.
Exactly. Exactly. And I know that.
That's what we're talking about. I know you know it. So you have to really get to you've got to get to the core of what you love about you.
Yes. Yeah, that's a big one.
It is, and that's where we all have to work on first before we can expect anybody else to really want to be around us.
Oh yeah, and I do a lot of inner work. Trust me, I do.
Good.
I'm like a light worker, but not like officially on any. I was on a light worker site, but I didn't like what was going on. It was too competitive, and I thought it was going to be a site where everybody worked together. But, of course, you get the ego and the personalities in there, and it was just too much. So I rather listen to BBS.
Well, that's good. We're so glad you did. And I hope I helped you tonight. We've got another caller on the line.
Yes.
I hope.
Yes, I appreciate everything you said, and I will take it to heart. Thank you.
Good. Keep listening. Tell your friends. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I will.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. So we have another caller on the line. Hello, caller. Hello. Hi, who's this? Hi, Pat, where are you calling from? Okay, how can we help tonight?
I think they may be ending a relationship. They've been together for 9 years. My son just turned 30. And I just feel sad for them, and I'm wondering how they can receive strength, especially her. I don't know. I know I like you, and I don't know if there's any way you can help me with this.
Well, first of all, is who's doing the break? Is your son wanting to end the relationship, or is his girlfriend?
I think my son feels like he's just losing his life by living with some. She said her mother died and she started cleaning, and she's extremely controlling. She's a lovely person, but within the home, I think he feels trapped and just does not have a life. Hasn't had a life for 10 years, hasn't been able to have fun, have friends, and so on and so on. She's also suffering from profound pain in her back, which has been going on for over 6 years, and that just doesn't seem to get better. So both these things have kind of kept their lives very kind of dead. And he just feels like, you know, he's 30, and if he doesn't do something now at 35, it's all going to be worse.
Well, first of all, my oldest son just turned 38.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one who's getting married. And my daughter is going to be 35, and my youngest son is going to be 33. So I'm with you on this, okay?
Wow, yeah.
Just from a time frame point of view. One of the things that I have learned is that having gone through with my two sons, actually, more than my daughter, she kind of met and married early, is that when there's a situation that they are feeling pain from, all that we can do as moms is support them. But what's so important for you to know is that it is not your responsibility to fix him, nor is it your responsibility to fix his relationship or to fix his wife or his girlfriend?
His girlfriend.
Okay, his girlfriend. The reason why this is important is you've got to stay out of this. You can't even lend your energy to it. Because if you lend your energy to it, you just make either your son or his girlfriend or both feeling like the victim. So it's more about you sending light and love for the highest outcome.
Right.
And the other piece is that when he wants to talk to you, it's really important that you ask his permission to give him feedback if he wants it. So that if he starts talking, it's so important that you not say anything until he's totally done.
Okay.
And then you say, would you like some feedback on that?
Okay.
Or did you just want to be able to vent?
Okay.
And the reason that's so important is because it's going to create... When people are in a painful relationship, it's so important that they have someone they can talk to that will listen to them. Because they have not been listened to for so long, that's why their relationship is in as much problems as it is.
Right, okay.
And so when we as parents or friends, we need to ask permission before we put our two cents in, because many times that's not what they want.
Right.
They don't want to make the other person wrong. They don't want to be shown where they're wrong. They just want somebody to listen to them so that they can hear themselves.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and that, so there's that. And the other piece is that if, in fact, your son has agreed to be with this woman for 9 years, all right, what's important is to see, well, first of all, whenever he wants feedback, it's going to be helpful for you to be able to hold the space for him to learn why he has allowed it for 9 years.
Right.
And this is really, it's really important that you not feel guilt. You know, remember, if he hasn't left because he has felt guilty about leaving her, he learned it somewhere, Pat.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
You know?
And you know what?
He learned it somewhere.
Both of us are kind of psychologically mature enough that we have talked about, we spend some time saying, okay, let's trace this back. Obviously, you know, mom and dads give you stuff that you bring forward into relationships. So you're absolutely right about everything that you're saying, and you're helping me with clarity. And please go on if you have more. And I think that's why I'm calling. I think I was wondering if you could help me, or if you could send light and love to both of them, and especially, I feel especially, to the woman.
Well, sure. Of course, yeah. First of all, if you just give us their first names, we'll ask everyone to send them light and love, not just me.
That's really nice.
Okay.
Terry and
sure,
Linda.
Did you say Jerry?
Terry, with a T.
Terry and Linda.
Right.
So everybody who's listening, we want to just send light to Terry and Linda that they open their hearts and they allow themselves to do what is, you know, for the highest good for themselves. Not for anybody else, but for themselves. Right. Because what's important in this relationship is that there are psychological things that no one can fix unless the person is willing to work on themselves.
Right.
You know, typically when a person has back problems, and again, I'm not going to get into this woman's stuff because records work. We don't open anybody else's records without their permission.
Okay.
What the record keepers are talking about is that typically when a person has a back problem, they're feeling overburdened with life in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on where it is in the back has to do with very, it could be financial, it could be emotional, it could be anger they haven't dealt with. There's so many different things, but it's about feeling overwhelmed and burdened, okay, mm-hmm. in so many ways. And if you've ever noticed anyone who's walking hunched over, you'll notice that they rarely have a smile on their face.
Yes.
And the reason why is because they are just so used to, you know, walking around overburdened, it's like somebody has put a bag of rocks on their back.
Right.
And so the idea here is to unload those bag of rocks and leave those bag of rocks on the side of the road so a person can stand up straight and feel supported. Because many times that's also the issue, that for whatever reason people with back issues are also feeling unsupported. So whatever's going on for your son and their relationship, it's really important that he take a look at and take care of what he needs to take care of that's going to make him feel good about him, not from a point of view of victimhood or not from a point of view of guilt. But
right.
The idea here is that it needs to be an agreement with himself that he's going to start taking care of himself in a way that nurtures him, and then it will naturally nurture her because it doesn't have to be angry or aggressive.
Yeah, that's right. And we've talked about that too. And he says he almost doesn't have the energy to do stuff on his own. But I think maybe that's just because he's somewhat depressed about the relationship. Interestingly, she has problems in the very, very lowest part of her back. And my son broke his back when he was 17.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. And so the idea here is that when you said that he feels that he doesn't have the energy to do things on his own, you mean without her or without
yes.
you?
No, without her. We talked about why don't you just go ahead and do things on your own, the things that you'd like to do if she can't because of the pain. And he said, yes, I thought of it, but I just almost don't have the energy to do it. And he also says, I'm a homebody. In a way, I'd rather be at home. But unfortunately, they both work at home. And then when the weekend comes, there's just, I don't want to be negative about her, but there's a lot of control and you know, trying to control the home. So he feels trapped.
Well, the idea here is that he has to really decide how he wants his life to look and feel.
Right.
And the piece is, if he doesn't have the energy to do it alone or without her, how is he going to leave her?
Can you explain what you just asked me?
What your words were that he doesn't have the energy or the motivation to do stuff on his own without her.
Right.
And the question is, if that's the way he feels, how is he going to leave her?
Oh, he feels, it seems like he could leave her. As far as trying to help the relationship by going and fulfilling things that he wants to do, like, say, go to the city himself, he doesn't have the energy to do that, but the way he's talking, it sounds like he could leave to go live on his own.
But then, if he didn't have energy to live? But do you understand? Do you understand
yeah.
the question?
Yeah, I do. And
there was one doesn't equal the other.
You're right.
And so the idea here is it's really about, you know, the idea I've got to get out of here, I've got to leave. That's it, but I don't want to go and start a life for myself without her, are conflicting comments.
No, I'm not saying that. When we were talking about if they can stay together and fix it, one thing to do is to start doing things on your own. You know, instead of waiting and hoping that she could join him to go to the city or go away on day trips, maybe he could do these things himself. And he didn't really have the energy.
Oh, so what he's saying, what's being said then is he really wants a partner to do those things with. He doesn't want to do them on his own.
I guess so. I guess that's what he's saying.
I mean, that's the way it sounds.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I don't want to live a life by myself, and I don't want to live a life where I'm alone.
Okay.
While I'm in a relationship, if I'm going to be in a relationship, I want to be in a relationship with somebody, not with somebody waiting at home who's tired and sick.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's probably what he's saying.
Well, but the idea here is it's got to have occurred to him at least one or more times over the last 9 years. What he has to decide is, if in fact he continues on this merry-go-round that doesn't go anywhere, he's going to be a very bitter man at 40.
Yeah, he said, what's going to happen at 35 if I don't do something now? He said it's just going to be worse. So I think...
Yes, it is.
I think, yeah.
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 Right.
So, you know, I'm calling with sort of the sad sense that I think it may very well end. Of course, I can tell for him it would be a good thing for him, because what he's really saying is I need to have my life back. But I feel sad, and I was just hoping to, and thank you for putting their names out to just have some love and light sent to them and maybe more clarity and strength.
Sure.
So
and we'll send by to you also, Pat, because it's really going to be important for you to understand what your boundaries are in this.
Right.
And in other words, if you have the opportunity to create a new relationship with him that has clearer, more firm boundaries about what's okay and what's not okay, because he has to be, at this age, he must fix his own life.
Okay.
And all you can do is hold energy for that.
Yeah, okay. I think I did pretty good, but some of the things you've just told me helped a lot and will help me a lot in the future in talking to him, so I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. Have you listened before?
Yes, I've listened, and it's late for me, but I try to stay up and hear you, and I've actually talked to you a couple of times before, too. So.
Good. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you called in. And remember, there's always the archives too, if you want to listen. But thank you so much for listening, and I hope you tell your friends.
Thanks. I will. Thank you very much.
Okay. It's 5 minutes earlier next week, so just remember that it's going to be Eastern. It's going to be 10:55. So you'll get five minutes early.
Great. Thank you.
Station 2. Okay, darling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Be well. Blessings to you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I think that we're talking about relationships and soulmates tonight and soul partners and the difference between soul partners and soulmates and life. I think that's what's important for us to know as human beings. Our journey is to complete ourselves to the degree that we are totally whole, whole, to the best of our abilities. And clearly when we come onto this planet, and the parents that we picked or our life experiences clearly have in many cases taken chunks of ourselves and diminished them. But they've never really taken them away. They might, if you can think of the different parts of your being, the record keepers are showing me is that different parts of our being have different light bulbs. That's the best way to explain it to you, what I can tell you. And when we grow up in a household that diminishes us, that part of us is, it's not that it's no longer there, it's just that the light has been turned down. So it's up to us to turn our lights back up on the areas that we feel deficient in, that we feel less than in. We still have all the stuff we need that's there. It's just about turning those lights back on and creating a life plan for ourselves that will involve experiences and activities and concepts that will make us feel good about ourselves so that we can, as we move down the path of healing for ourselves and transformation, we come to our next beloved, if you will, as whole as possible. Because when we come to our beloveds, as whole as possible, that we will only acknowledge and attract and maintain relationships with those who are as whole as we are. And make no mistake, if in fact we have created a pattern of dysfunctional relationships, it's never all one-sided. It's never only you, and it's never only them. There is a complement that there are sides that create the need on both, but it's not a healthy need. And so it's very important that we work on ourselves to feel confident so that when something happens on a date or in a relationship that doesn't feel good, we see that as an immediate red flag. And then we become way more observant. Oops, there's a red flag. There's another red flag. Okay, once, twice, three. Okay, three red flags, I'm out of here. And then when you're feeling good about yourself, and this is so important to understand, when you're feeling good about yourself, it's you know that to remain in a relationship that is not healthy, that doesn't feel good, that doesn't support you, is not one that will maintain your aspect of who you are. Any relationship with a human being, if that human being cannot see you for who you are, it's not a relationship. If they can't see you, if they can't appreciate you for who you are, then you need to start looking somewhere else. And it's not about hurting anybody else's feelings. Because the reality is there's no one more important than you. Now, I know that's going to say, oh, well, that sounds so selfish. You betcha. You know, we have made selfish a negative word, and that's wrong. We don't have to be selfless all the time. And it's okay to be selfish. It's okay to put yourself first. It's okay to say, this isn't good for me. This doesn't feel good for me. I mean, you wouldn't drink poison. You wouldn't take poison every day of your life because you know it's not good for you. So why stay in a relationship that is so toxic that it makes you feel toxic and poisonous yourself? Same thing, and you've got to look at it that way. And that's where you get your courage. And if you need more courage, you call someone else up, someone like myself or our friend or whatever, and you talk it out with that person. And you use people or friends or groups or whatever you need as a support system to remind you of your magnificence until you can continue to remind yourself. There's so much that you have to offer. You have so much going for you. You are so magnificent. You are such a being of light that it's time to claim your space. It's time to be the king or queen of all your survey because you are what's important because when you take the opportunity to be who you are, to appreciate who you are, to find joy in who you are, you also allow and make space for the other person to be who they are. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong impression that I'm saying that in any relationship you're the only one that counts. Naturally, there's compromise. Naturally, there's a way of giving and taking in a relationship that's loving. But if there's any giving and taking that's not loving, that is not a loving relationship. If it doesn't feel loving, it isn't. That's so important. You deserve to have only love in your life. You are a being of light. You are a child of God. The Creator has created us in a way for us to be able to to open our hearts and love in a way that is totally unconditional. But we cannot possibly open our hearts to unconditional love until we find the unconditional love in ourselves and for ourselves. When we hold judgment for ourselves, it will be reflected in someone else. So we need to be able to look at ourselves, and the judgment should only be a discernment of, I don't like that part about me, and I want to work on a daily basis to be able to eliminate or neutralize it. Not from a place of guilt, not from a place of anger, but from a place of joy of awareness. And when you can't get the joy of awareness is when you need to bring in more divine light. And that's when you ask for help. You ask for help from the Creator. You ask for help from the divinity that's within you. And I just want to make another comment. When it comes to praying and being and lighting our way, when we request help, it's important to ask for help of the universe or the divine, whatever you believe to be true, and ask for the universe's messengers of love to come help you, or the Creator's messengers of love to help come and help you. Because there's nothing more powerful than that creative love light that some call God, that some call Creator. Whatever that divine spark is for you, those are the messengers that we have around us in the unseen that will help us. And those are the ones we need to remember. And remember that your emotions are the most important barometers in any relationship. And we're going to say it again. If it doesn't feel good, it don't do it. If it doesn't feel loving, it isn't. And there's nothing wrong with calling somebody on it. So I want you all to just know how much you are loved. I want you all to know how much our journey together is one of learning about love on planet Earth. And I want you to know that we, as a collective we, the collective humanity, can change anything when we move into love. Because the reality is, when we move into a love of ourselves, love of those around us, the purity, the joy, the bliss of love, the unconditional love, we truly align ourselves with the highest frequency and vibration of the divine. And when we truly are in a space of knowing awareness of that, we can move mountains together. So I just want to tell you how much I love all of you. I mean, I'm just so appreciative that you're all listening. This show is one of my favorite things to do every week. I've been doing it since I think February of 2007, and I absolutely love it. I love my work with the Akashic Records. I love doing individual consultations. I love helping you. I love teaching classes. I am blessed. And I want all of you to know that blessing as well. May you find what's deepest in your heart. May you look and find the right livelihood for you. May you open your heart to your magnificence this week. May you look for joy in every leaf of the tree every flower that you see, every baby that you see, every smile. And may tomorrow morning, or even tonight, depending on your time zone, start with a smile. Smile at everyone tomorrow. Watch what happens. You'll have a great day. Somebody bugs you, just smile at them. Say, bless you for that lesson. I'm moving on. So we're at the end of the show. I want to thank you all for listening. I want to remind you again that I'm going to be on Station 2 after Brooks Agnew and before Alanine, and it's going to be a great talk show. You can call in and tell your friends. Please listen to Brooks Agnew. He's great to listen to. And please stay tuned for Alanine. She's great to listen to again. You can do call in with Brooks before if you want to listen in to what he talks for 3 hours before I do. And Alanine, I don't know that she takes calls, but they're both great people, and I hope you listen in, and I'm looking forward to being in between them. And again, that's 7:55 Pacific on Station 2 next week, and for Cleveland or Eastern Time Zone, it's 10:55. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. We ask that your hearts be opened, your burdens be lifted, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. If you'll all join me in saying amen. Have a miracle-filled week, folks. And I'll see you and talk to you next week. Be sure and email your questions to info@akashicwisdom.com. Bye.